I despise your killing and raping. You're despicable.
Are you my judge?
It's just, you should be punished. I'm going to chop off your arm. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Go ahead and chop off that arm. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Asian Cinema Fusion. I'm your host, Paul Martinez. Got four more films to talk to you about today. If I sound a little giddy, it's because as I record this today, on June 24th, 2015, we are just 2 days away from the New York Asian Film Festival, the happiest time of the year for me. I have currently already procured tickets for 9 different screenings. More will come. And as I promised you guys, every film that I see at the festival, I'm going to talk about here on this podcast and let you know what I thought of it. Give you a little insight that things about the festival and how they go down. There will be live interviews, question and answer segments, and award segment for Aaron Kwok, which I will be at. I will give you a little bit of a rundown of how that went. It's very exciting time. Anyone who lives in the New York area who loves Asian cinema, if you don't know about this, you should. It starts from June 26th, which is a Friday, and goes all the way to July 11th at the Lincoln Center. At the Lincoln Center, and then continues over at the SVA theaters over there, the School of Visual Arts, for 3 days. They'll be having shows there too. And after this, starting Thursday, I think it's July 9th, it starts Japan Cuts over at the Japan Society, which is another film festival featuring the new cinema of Japan. I always go and catch a couple of films at that festival as well. So believe me, the Korean Film Festival will be coming up shortly. I'm trying to remember. I think it's late July or early August. That'll be coming around, hopefully again, to Brooklyn. So, summertime in New York City, if you're an Asian film fan, this is where you want to be. Festivals galore. Just great, great, great stuff. And, I mean, almost never have I ever gone to a screening where I did not enjoy myself. Even if the film wasn't the greatest film, the experience, being there with fans, like-minded fans like us that love Asian cinema, it's a wonderful thing to be around. It's a wonderful thing to share with, watching some great films on the big screen. And it's people from all ages. I know someone asked me once that they felt weird, you know, because they were an American and they felt weird to go into a theater where there would be, you know, nothing but Asians. And I laughed uproariously, actually, because at these festivals, I would say it's about 50-50 Asian to non-Asian. It is not, believe me, you will not be the only non-Asian there. I think sometimes Asians are actually outnumbered by American or Hispanic, African-American viewers. So, believe me, Asian cinema is for everyone. It's for people who love good movies, who enjoy fun time in the theater. And believe me, don't ever feel to be shied away from the festivals because you think you won't fit in. Because trust me, you will fit in. Friendliest crowd you'll ever meet. Everybody is so cool with each other. I've never seen any incidents. I did hear of an incident once, but I didn't see it myself. But I've been going for myself. This will be my 9th year in attendance, and I've never seen one incident of anything other than people just sharing the love they have for Asian cinema. So as I said, if you're in the New York area, come check it out. You can find the information at subwaycinema.com, which will give you all the information on this year's New York Asian Film Festival. And then you can go to look for Japan Cuts. You can Google it. Japan Cuts 2015. You'll find out about the movies playing there. There's at the Lincoln Center anyway, there are packages if you want to see more than three or more films, I should say, and you get discount price for the tickets if you do that. So it's a great time. You won't go wrong. They raffle prizes at it. It is just the greatest time in the world. I'm so hyped. The first movie, I'm actually, due to some snafu on my part on ticket buying, I'm actually going to be seeing Port of Call on Friday the 26th, the new Aaron Kwok film. And then, in which he'll be receiving the Star Asia Award, which is given out to every year to, you know, some actor. This year's Aaron Kwok. Then on Saturday, they are having another showing of Port of Call, in which Aaron Kwok will be there doing a Q&A session. I will be at that also. So I'll be seeing Port of Call twice. Going with my sister one day, going with my girl the other. It should be good times. Believe me, I can't go wrong watching Aaron Kwok 2 days in a row. So I'm sure the film's going to be great. It was the film I most wanted to see coming in, so I don't mind seeing it twice. But yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Ringo Lam is going to be there. We're going to talk about Ringo Lam a little later on this podcast. And speaking of that, I don't want to talk you guys' heads off, because maybe you're listening to this and you're not from the New York area and you're like, yeah, great, Paul, rub it in that we can't see all this great stuff. And for that, I'm sorry, but definitely, if you look in the future, it's definitely, if you ever want to take a vacation to New York, I would say definitely take it in the last week of June, first week of July, and catch yourself some great Asian cinema. Okay, on to our show. We're going to start off, as we always do, with two fairly new films that I've screened. The first one, Neko Samurai, a.k.a. Samurai Cat. This came out in 2014. This is from Japan, directed by Takeshi Watanabe and Yoshitaka Yamaguchi. They're basically known that Neko Samurai actually is a TV series in Japan. And these are the guys who do the TV series, who brought it to the big screen. And it's a huge, huge box office smash for them. Starring Kazuki Kitamura as Neko Samurai. You might know him from, he's been in a couple of major films. Like a Dragon, the Takashi Miike film. Azumi, great film. And Godzilla Final Wars. So if you've ever seen those films, you might recognize our star, Kazuki Kitamura, who plays the Neko Samurai. Also, Misako Rambutsu as Ome. I'm going to talk a little more about Miss Rambutsu later, but she was in the Snow White murder case, which I just love the performance in that. She was also in a movie called River, which I heard good things about, but must admit I have not seen. And also, Yasufumi Terawaki as Shinoemon Shimazaki. He is known for The Killer Bride's Perfect Crime. More of a character actor, but a very well-respected character actor. This is a cute comedy with some fine acting. What's it about? Okay, there are two warring clans. One clan loves dogs, the other loves cats, and of course, are natural enemies. In order to stop a powerful marriage of two cats that will seize power for the cat clan, they're not called the cat clan, but just for the sake of this review, we'll just call them cat and dog clans. So this will seize power for the cat clan, and so the dog clan turned to a grumpy, out-of-work ronin to assassinate the future feline bride. And of course, nothing ever goes as planned. I'll be the first one to admit, I'm not the biggest fan of comedies, but this was enjoyable. The key element was the fact that the lead character rarely ever speaks. But the director gives us audience to his inner thoughts, which are usually quite amusing. The story, while madcap, is easy to follow, there is a side plot as to why our hero was out of work and has left his family, which later becomes evident. And the film ends on a nice touching note. Very little on the action front. There's one quick battle, but no bloodshed. But the scene itself was pretty intense. But this is not a violent film in any way or shape or form. Kazuki Kitamura really is the story here. His never-ending scowl and total annoyance by everything around him was just pure greatness. And as I said before, I am so impressed by Masako Rembetsu, despite not giving a tremendous amount to do here. In fact, I thought everyone played their roles quite well. That also goes especially for Tamanojo, who is the cutest cat ever. There's no way anybody could ever assassinate such a cute cat. Really, really good stuff. As I talked about Miss Rembutsu earlier, I thought she really was awesome in Snow White Murder Case. I didn't even realize when I started to watch this that she was in this film. And once I saw her, quickly was very pleased, and then even more pleased to watch what a great performance he turned in. She is definitely one of the young star actresses of Japan. Keep a remembrance for her name, Masako Rembutsu. She, I think, is going to have big things coming her way in the coming years. Overall, if you want something different, this is a fine choice. I didn't find it knee-slapping hysterical, but it was cute, and it was heartwarming. And maybe something to introduce to others who think Asian cinema is all bloods and guts. You know, I hear that a lot, like, oh, yeah, you know, it's all kung fu, or it's all karate movies, or samurai and blood. And I try to explain to people, just like American films, or Indian films, or Latino films, like anything, there's all different genres. And so here's a different genre if you know somebody that you're trying to get into Asian cinema, but they're a little hesitant because they're not really into the more blood and guts style. Here's a film that you can show them that they really might enjoy. I personally gave it a 7 out of 10. There is a sequel playing at the Japan Cuts Festival, which we just spoke about earlier. And I have not gotten a ticket for it yet. And from what I heard, tickets are going fast. But that is something I may try to go see. Our next film, The Target. This came out also in 2014 out of Korea. Directed by Yoon Hong Sung, a.k.a. Chang. You might know him from the movie Death Bell. A fairly young director. I believe he was a music video director, if I'm not mistaken. And has now started to branch himself into the movie business. The movie stars Ryu Sung-ryong as Bak Young-hoon. He is a huge name in Korea these days. You might know him from his tremendous job in Masquerade. Also, had a fine role in War of the Arrows. Also in this movie, Lee Jin-wook as Lee Tae-jun. Basically a TV star before this. This was like really his big break in movies. And we'll see, you know, what this turns to. Also, Yoo Jun Sang as Song Ji Chao. You might know from Moss, The Day He Arrives, Fists of Legend. Not the Hong Kong Fists of Legend, the Korean version, which came out about a year ago. And Jo Young Jung as Jung Hee Ju, someone who I really like. She was in The Servant. And The Concubine, she was fantastic in The Concubine. Concubine, a movie that we will talk about on this podcast in the future. Okay, I know sometimes when I read off a lot of these Asian names, they just roll right over people's heads. And it's hard if you're really not very familiar with them to know who they are. But, you know, just try to remember if you see this movie, try to remember if this you see an actor that you really like and try to jot down their name. It is a bit more harder, I find, with Korean names than with Chinese. Because Chinese, a lot of them Americanize their first names. As for the film, it's a remake of a French hit called Point Blank, which was a huge box office blast in France. But, you know, even at the Point Blank range, there are some misses here. What's it about? A young doctor and his pregnant wife are unwillingly thrown into a web of murder, corruption, and framing. He must team with an ex-mercenary to save his wife and bring the truth to light. That's my little you know, back of the DVD synopsis. But usually we hear about a film starting slow, but then building up to a great ending. And this is a little different. It started off intense and engrossing, shot beautifully, but somewhere seems to lose its focus, but then comes back strong for a post-pounding conclusion. So I found the film slightly uneven, but I would put it this way. The good parts were really good, but it wasn't always good, if you can follow what I mean. The story is simplistic when it's all done. But when looking back, you have to wonder why the bad guys were so over the top in their methods, almost a bit contrived, with the addition of a brother who suffers from Tourette's and was set up to be a patsy, who was played brilliantly by an actor named Jin Gu. Fantastic job by him. Still, this was not all bad, as the action is steady. The intensity only wavers really once in the middle there, with the stars having this heartfelt discussion, which really seemed out of place. The acting had its moments, but also had some bad ones as well. The shining star was the performance of the wonderful Jo Young-jung, as I spoke of earlier, the woman from The Concubine. She plays the pregnant wife. I wish she had more script to work with. She is a great actress. What was not so great was the performance of our antagonist, Yoo Jun-sang. His evil ramblings were hokey at best. Woo Sung-ryong was for the most part excellent, but at times had dialogue that I felt just didn't fit his character. Like, I just felt sometimes he would say stuff that I'm just like, this doesn't match him. You know, this doesn't match, in my opinion. Someone wouldn't say what he says at that moment in time, going based upon what we knew of the character. So again, that's just the part I'm talking about where I thought it didn't, you know, there's little parts of this. It almost seemed a little weird. But what hurts this film mostly is that it's kind of been done before and better. Still, I can't say I disliked it. Just, I guess I hoped for more. I gave the film a 5.5 out of 10. If you're looking for a K-thriller, and you've seen all the great ones, you know, then check this out. But there are others I would see first. For example, like The Chaser, Unjust, which we spoke about in an earlier podcast, Confession of Murder, fantastic K-thriller. So, I mean, there's a lot of great, 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 great K-thrillers out there. Even A Hard Day, another fine film. I saw The Devil. The Man from Nowhere, New World. These are all K-thrillers that I would see that are fantastic. That I would watch before this. But at the same time, I'm not going to tell you to stay away from The Target because it wasn't a bad film. Like I said, it's just, unfortunately, there's just so many great Korean thrillers being made. That just really seems to be where their bread and butter is. You know, it's like when Japan was making the horror movies and after a while, it just became a point of, you know, we've already seen The Grudge, we've already seen The Ring, everything else kind of pales in comparison. That's starting to happen, and that's maybe what hurts The Target a little. It's just, it's an okay film. I'm not angry that I saw it. I don't wish I didn't see it. It was a decent watch for the hour and a half. I'm just saying there's a lot of other films I would rather you watch before you watch this one. Okay, and now we come to our old school selection of the show. Always a fun time for me, the old school selections. I get to sit down and I usually try to pick a film I have not seen in a very long time. And I did that this week. Our selection was The Flying Guillotine, 1975 from Hong Kong, directed by the immortal Chang Che, as I've said before. If I sat here and tried to list you the movies that Chang Che has directed, we'd be here 2 hours. Starring Chen Kwan Tai as Ma Tang in what many feel is his signature performance. You might also know Chen Kwan Tai from Iron Monkey, Execution of Shaolin. By the way, Iron Monkey, not the Donnie Yen version, the original version. Executioners from Shaolin. He played a fantastic the villain in the Crippled Avengers. I'm also starring Ku Fang as Chief Jin Kang. In my opinion, this is one of Ku Fang's a guy that, outside of really well-versed people in martial arts cinema, may not know the name. He almost never starred in anything. He's always with a character actor, kind of. But a very good actor. He's been in probably over 100 films. And to me, this, in my opinion, of the films I've seen him in, is his greatest performance. He plays Chief Jin Kang here. Where else could you know Ku Fang? He had a very nice role in Duel of the Iron Fist, which we talked about in our first podcast. Also was in Vengeance with David Chang. So those are other films you might know Ku Fang from. Wai Wang as Ah Kung. Wai Wang, outside of Shaolin Temple, Wai Wang never had the career as a leading guy. He also had a good role in Big Brother Chang. So Wai Wang, you might know him from those two films. And Kong Yung as the Emperor, who you would probably, if you know him at all, you probably know him from Web of Death. I believe he was in Child of the Masters also. This is a Saw production that focused more on character than just nonstop action. And that makes it memorable just for that reason alone. What's it about? Well, an 18th century emperor has been overtaken of insecurities and paranoia. He has one of his underlings, played by Ku Fang, devise a weapon that can have him secretly assassinate anyone he feels suspicious of. Thus we get the flying guillotine, and 12 men trained to master it. But when one man becomes disillusioned with the mission, he runs off to a new life. The emperor, however, has dispatched the rest of his squad to hunt him down. And as I said, Chen Quan-Tai really cuts his teeth as a leading man here. He does so very well. There is a lot of speculation on whether this weapon or something like it actually existed. Still, for 1975, it was pretty radical and made this a very famous film, spawning multiple films using the device. One on Boxer 2 used the guillotine. There's the Fatal Flying Guillotine Part 2. The guillotine made its way throughout the martial arts films of the 70s. But this is where it started. As I said, no one could really verify whether or not this device actually existed. I kind of think it probably didn't. But, there is talk that there was some beheading device that actually was in existence. There's been rumors of it. So I just don't think it would have worked like the flying guillotine does. But anyway, let's move on from that. And what we get here, though, this is not just one of your run-of-the-mill evil versus good kung fu throwdowns. There are layers to these characters. Many of them no more evil than any soldier who was just following orders. Of course, we do have the one black hat villain, if you will. We also have a side story of love and family for our hero. You can see a lot of elements, I feel, borrowed from the Lone Wolf and Cub films. It's not a drastic ripoff, but I definitely feel that there had to be a little bit of that on the writers' minds when making this film. It's just a very slight tinge to it. He's on the run with a baby and his wife and people trying to kill them. So I don't know, I just really felt there's a little bit of Lone Wolf Cubbins. The action, while very plentiful during the final act, is a bit slow midway, but what we get is usually pretty good stuff with no lack of gore, plenty of decapitated bodies around for all. I have heard some be critical of this film due to the more character-driven pacing of the film. But I guess in my humble opinion, that's where the charm lies in this film. Not every film can be non-stop battles and blood spurting. I, for one, enjoy this film, and it's a true classic in every sense of the word, as I see it. Not much to say on the acting as I screened the English dubbed version of the film. Now, if you listen to my previous podcast, you know my feelings on that. So I really don't judge acting unless I can actually hear you act. Overall, I give this a 7 out of 10. And for those of you who have never seen it, you can actually watch this for free on Hulu.com. There were some commercials, but it's a very clean, crisp version. It is the dubbed version. But you can go to Hulu.com. It's free. Go to the search box. You can type guillotine, and it'll come up. You can even type Shaw, and I think there's a whole bunch of Shaw Brother films on there that you can watch. And The Flying Guillotine is one of them for free, streaming perfectly to your phone, your laptop, or even your tablet. So definitely, if you've never seen The Flying Guillotine, I think this is a film that should be seen. This is a classic film. If you want to become someone who's known, versed in Asian cinema and in martial arts cinema in particular, you know, anybody you talk to have seen The Flying Guillotine. It's just really one of the cornerstone films of the Shaw Brothers empire. So it's definitely a must-see. And like I said, it's a little different, but I think different in a good way. And now we move on to our wild card film. Had a hard time deciding what wild card film was going to do this day, but because I am going to be seeing City on Fire on Saturday, the 27th of June, and in attendance will be the great Ringo Lam receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. So excited to be able to see Ringo Lam. Hope I get a chance to meet the man. Very, very excited about this. And so because of that, I decided that's, I saw City of Fire, of course, being my favorite Ringo Lam film. But my second favorite Ringo Lam film is what we're going to review today in the wild card slot. And that is Prison on Fire, 1987, Hong Kong. Directed is, of course, as I said, Ringo Lam, known for City on Fire and Full Contact. Also has a brand new film called Wicked City that's releasing, I believe, in a week or so in Hong Kong. So look for that. As soon as I get my hands on a copy, I'll be reviewing that one for you. This film was starring the immortal Chow Yun-Fat as Chung Chin Ching, also known as Ah Ching in the film. Of course, if you don't know Chow Yun-Fat is... Wow, I would have to get a special podcast just to talk to you. Just know he's been in probably the biggest Hong Kong action films ever made. You've had to have seen him in something. He's been in Hard Boiled, The Killer, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, even some American films such as The Replacement Killers. Definitely Chow Yun-Fat, one of the biggest stars in the history of Hong Kong film. And he's co-starred here with Tony Young Ka-Fai, who plays Lo Kai-Yu. We just talked about Tony Young in Taking of the Tiger Mountain, as he played the evil eagle in that film. Also know him from Ashes of Time, his great performance in the film Election, directed by Johnny To. So Tony Young, one of the most accomplished actors. So you've got Chow Yun-Fat and Tony Leung in one film here. You're already off to an incredible start. Also starring Roy Chung, who plays Officer Hung. Might know him from The Storm Riders. He was also in Young and Dangerous 3 and 4. And Ho Kai Kui, in one of his first films, as Mickey. You might know him for his great performance in the film The Blade. And this is Ringo Lam's classic tale, powered by a great cast. Over the top for sure, which is what made 80s Hong Kong cinema so great. Their over the top filmmaking is what drew many of us in. And so this is just kind of the epitome of it. What's it about? Okay, a quiet young man is sent to jail and instantly finds life on the inside follows much different rules. He meets Ah Ching, Chow Yun-Fat, who tries to keep him out of trouble. Okay, let's start with the story. Off the bat, it's hard to believe Lo Kai-Yu actually went to prison for his supposed crime. But once you get past that, this film should scare people from ever breaking the law. This prison is run by triads and conniving guards who are even more evil. Our heroes are constantly put between a rock and a hard place. And so naturally, all hell breaks loose. One of the most violent prison riots ever. But it's the build-up to it that is the true art here. At the end, I wanted to riot and kill the villains. There is such a sense of helplessness as everyone around them is up to no good. And all these guys are trying to do is just get through another day. Lots of action, but no martial arts or guns. Just a lot of old school punching and kicking. What really carries this film is the brilliant performances turned in by Tony Leung and Chow Yun-Fat. Roy Chung is also stellar here as the prison guard. I have not always been a big Roy Chung fan, but he was great in his role here as the guard who's just gone too far. But Chow gets top billing, and he is his usual charismatic self. The camera just loves this guy. But it's Tony Leung, really, who steals the show as the naive inmate whose mouth continues to get him in trouble. Now, a sequel was made, which I felt failed to match the intensity of this one. And so I would just tell you that, you know, some people because they like to be completists, and I do tend to be that way myself, would want to see the sequel, but I would say the sequel really pales in comparison. This film, however, really is a must-see. Chow Yun-Fat is in it, and Chow Yun-Fat is just alone. You want to see in Chow Yun-Fat films. Overall, this is a must-see for any fan of Chow Yun-Fat, any fan of Ringo Lam, any fan of Tony Leung, any fan of great prison films, any fan of, trying to think of anything else, any fan of someone biting off a body part, any fan of any of these things, Prison on Fire, must-see, fantastic film. I'm scoring it a 7 out of 10, which is a lot higher than I've seen many critics give this film, and I think that's blasphemous. This is a fantastic, fun hour and 40 minutes or so, plus. It's just a great film. There's no way you could watch this film and not feel for our heroes, not hate the bad guys, and not cheer at the end of the violence. So definitely check out Prison on Fire. Not an easy film to find at this point in time. As I said, if you're unable to find a copy of it, you can always drop me a message in the comment section. I usually have ways. I happen being a Hong Kong and all around Asian cinema fan for over 30 years. I have a lot of ways to get a hold of films. So if there's a film you want to see, you've always wanted to see, and you can't get a hold of it, let me know. I'll do what I can to try to point you in the right direction. Fortunately, sometimes these older films you'll be able to find on YouTube, but Prison of Fire is not one of them. And that's our show. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking to you guys today. Again, I'm sorry if I sound a little giddy. I am a little amped up, but that's all right. It's a great time to be amped up about Asian cinema. And we will be speaking. I'm not going to do a podcast after I watch every film. Like, I watch one movie in the festival and I'm going to do a podcast on it. So I'll break it in to every, couple of days, like I said. So, our next podcast will be my reviews on Port of Call and my reviews on what happened with Aaron Kwok, his award, any comments and questions that I think are interesting. Also, City on Fire and the Ringo Lam Award ceremony, which I will be privy to. I will talk about that, and we'll talk about whatever couple of films I go see. I think it's another Ringo Lam film I'm going to see called Full Alert, which was his last big film before his hiatus. So that's what you could expect on our next show. Like I said, I don't have the schedule in front of me. Like, it's hard for me to break down what's going to be on the next episode. But you should expect to hear it in about a week or so. So, keep your eyes open for that. And like I said, there's still a lot of tickets for a lot of fantastic films if you're in the New York area. come on down and enjoy the fun. And if you want to say hi to me, if you think I might be standing around, I'm usually would be. Just look around for the biggest guy in the room. And that's probably me. Might be wearing my butt still t-shirt. And, you know, just look around. If you see a big Spanish guy, chances are it's me. And come up and say hi. Let me know you're a fan of the show. I'd love to meet any and all of you guys. Okay, and until next time, bye-bye.